is, you know, that day before, so we're a little early on it, but November 1st is All Saints Day, and so the Halloween really is that spooky little holiday where they say the veil is the thinnest. It's at the thinnest place of the year, and that's when people cross over to contact their loved ones or to get in to play some mischief on us. And so that's part of the story behind Halloween. And I wanted to talk about being startled awake. Don't you hate being startled awake? You know, even if you're just nodding off on the sofa while the TV's on and something happens that startles you, there's, ooh, that's just such a creepy feeling. And I, as I was thinking of how I wanted to present this information, I remembered a time where Hugh was traveling and our children were old enough to be out of the house and my dad had not moved in with us yet. So there was this period of a few years where when he would travel, I would be at home alone. And I'm not afraid to stay home alone. In fact, we would always leave the back door open so that the dog could get in and out, and I was comfortable with that. Well, one night, I was startled awake by glass breaking in the kitchen, and I was pretty sure it wasn't a bad guy, which I might have preferred because I knew it had to be a critter that had come in through that open door, and nobody's there but me. I got to put on my shoes because I hear broken glass, and I go into the kitchen, and me and some possum made eye-to-eye contact, and it wasn't really all that fun. So he darted under the fridge, and I darted down the hall, probably squealing the whole way if I'm just thinking it's me, you know, and I'm closing all the bedroom doors and the bathroom doors so I can at least know he's not, you know, I could secure some of the house and know that he's somewhere else out there. And then I went back to bed, and it was kind of funny, and I did manage to get back to sleep, but I was very cautious in the morning, and then I didn't have any further encounters with my friend the opossum. But that is a good illustration of being startled awake. Here's a critter that just wanted to get outside. He suddenly realized he's stuck in, and he was in the kitchen window trying to get outside. He could see outside, and he's knocking all my pretty collectibles off the windowsill, and he was scared, and so was I. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to look at the way in spiritual, if you add a spiritual component to being startled awake, we can look at how sometimes in our life, scary things happen, and it sort of wakes us up to a higher view or a different path. You know, maybe we just keep heading down the wrong path, and then bam, we run into something. And then we know, oh, go the other way, quickly, go the other way. And I think that we experience that through anytime we go through a crisis or we make a bad decision, we wish we'd made the other decision, and then you're kind of stuck in that stuff for a little while. Or when you have a close call of any sort. And so what we know is that those kinds of ways that life startles us wakes us up so that we begin to pay attention. We come to the be in the now moment, and we begin to live our life more on purpose, with more intention. And so that's a good thing. And I wanted to address that, because if you piggyback on everything I said last week, then we can look at this idea that being... I feel like I'm coming... So don't be alarmed if it comes off. It's just me under here. It's the way we get. I already said that, didn't I? Yeah. So anyhow, we have this great potential to deepen at all times, and that's the gift, the spiritual gift, in the way that life can scare us. And so I want to address that. But I found this wonderful quote, because not only, and also, do you notice that different things scare different people? Like, you could not get me on one of those big roller coasters. I have no interest. Mark, is that something you like doing?
Yeah, roller coasters.
Oh. I totally forgot you. I just realized. So just do the roller coaster will suffice. Moving on. There was a lot today. Not me. Roller coasters, not so much. And yet, there are a lot of people that like that rush from that kind of experience. Right now, there are haunted houses, you know, all over town. And people pay money to go in there knowing that somebody's probably waiting around a corner to frighten you. You know, and so there's something about some people being willing to take more risks and liking that. I think it goes back, if you look at the telling stories around the campfire, telling ghost stories around the campfire, or going to the show, going to the theater to watch one of those really scary John Kruger, hold up your hand, watch one of those kinds of movies. Make him put his mask on later because it's really creepy. And so you're in the theater and you know something's about to happen, and then suddenly it does, and everybody screams and squeals, and then everybody laughs afterwards, right? So there's some kind of rush that comes with that, and some people have a taste for all of that and others don't. And then the other thing I notice, that I was thinking a lot about this while I was planning the message all week, is that we don't even need scary stuff to scare us. We have this weird imagination that can scare us for absolutely no reason at all, you know? So it's like, what are you thinking about when you wake up at 3 a.m. and you're sitting in bed going, why am I awake? And then notice where your thoughts are. So there's that way, the Course in Miracles, I remember it had this passage on your weird imagining. So I looked it up, and this is what it says. This is such a great quote. Your wildest misperceptions, your weird imaginings, and your darkest nightmares all mean nothing because they cannot prevail against the peace of God, the peace of God that God wills for you. They cannot, your weirdest imaginings, your darkest nightmares cannot stand in the face of divine light, of truth, of the presence of God, of your even remembering in an instant that right where you are, God is. And so this is a good thing to know, because that is the way that fear, being scared of something, if you are willing to acknowledge it, last week's message, can then pull you right into truth. Now, science tells us that there are only two innate fears that we are all born with. You want to take a guess at what those are? Falling and loud noises. I think in the realm of psychology, everything else is learned. And so death is the big one. Until we get over, you know how they say, until we get over our fear of death, we won't be living our lives as fully as we could be. But falling and loud noises. Falling and loud noises, or creepy noises. And then what happens, and not only us, but animals in the animal kingdom as well. Those same two fears come with us because it's kind of a protection, so that you don't fall off a precipice, or you don't, you know, you hear the truck coming and rumbling down the street instead of running into traffic. And so we have that, but every other fear we have, and they say we have a lot of fears, those are learned. Those are learned fears. So, I mean, as an example, if mom's deathly afraid of spiders and freaks out in front of the toddler, it's possible that the toddler will pick up a fear of spiders or bumblebees or whatever it is, right? found your button? Yes. See, we got our things. We've all got our things. The good news is that if they are learned fears, we can unlearn them. Isn't that great? So, and yet another reason why it pays to pay attention to what kinds of things are scaring us. So in the realm of neuroscience, they talk about this idea of the mind-body connection. And I got to tell you that when I went to ministry school, there was a whole component of study that was all around the mind-body connection and its relevance to spirituality. So we, especially in New Thought, where we're very conscious of what we think and how we can have some say in all of that, it becomes a part of our spiritual practice. So what it's saying is that there's this mind-body connection that says, even though you've had a thought, and it's just a thought, and there's not really anything out there that's scary, that your mind, takes the fear, and your body has a physiological response to it, and everything changes in your physical makeup for a while. So there's a, simply stated, there's a physiologic, no, that's not simple to say. There's a physiology to our emotions. So what you feel is always manifesting in your body, and this is really at the core of what we teach. So being scared isn't bad, but when you are startled, something shifts in your body. Do you ever notice that? Sometimes I notice my arms will feel tingly, and there's a physiological response in our bodies to that fear, and it's made so that we can show up with a fight or flight, you know, in an appropriate setting. We could get out of Dodge, or we could, you know, do what we need to do to get through a crisis. The problem is that as we move through life afraid of things, or even as we begin to observe that we're worrying all the time, that stress response from the body is interfering with our well-being. Because when the body is reacting to fear, it shuts down a lot of its processes. So the general maintenance of the body, the intelligence in the body that does that, the self-repair, all of that gets put on hold. And what we know is that a healthy body, in order to have an experience of being in a healthy body, that our bodies are designed to have prolonged periods of rest and relaxation. In fact, most of the time. So now, if we take it real primal, I always like to say, you know, like, so, that's why I like that paleo stuff that we're looking at now for healthy eating and whatnot. It interests me. So if you look at what would happen in the caveman days, you could say that the caveman, if you were a caveman or a cave lady, or the ghost of caveman past, it's sitting right over there, and you're living in a happy tribe of people, you would only be expected to have to run from a cave bear every once in a blue moon. Not like every day. You wouldn't be living in fear all the time. On a usual day, you would be gathering berries, or you would be sitting around the fire and enjoying your happy cave family, or you would be going into the cave while the kids were out playing and creating more cave babies. You know, so there would be, they had a regular life. We can assume that because we're all here. But our modern life has imposed some added stressors. So now we don't run from cave bears, or we don't, and the dinosaurs probably won't hurt us much, but we have stress from our jobs, or we have financial stress, or we just keep walking around with a bunch of anxiety that may not even be ours, and we don't know it. We suffer from depression and resentment and loneliness, and all of this is always stressing our bodies. Those kinds of thoughts and that general theme of how we're moving through life creates a place of being in that prolonged stress. Now, even though your body's not in danger, like from a cave bear or something, you're giving it all that stress, the hypothalamus in the brain signals your pituitary gland, which then releases hormones that stimulate your adrenal glands, and then you are now fully in that fight or flight physical response in the whole being of your body. And your body cannot relax. And if your body can't relax, it cannot do the normal maintenance work that it is required to do to keep us living. So we know, you know, that your pulse changes. We know that your blood pressure, I just think about going to the doctor and my blood pressure goes choom. We know that our immune systems suffer, and consequently, we have an experience of dis-ease. It's hard for our organs get depleted and you know, that's when you get the flu or whatever. So all of that, because we live in such a stressful world, especially lately, it sure feels that way to me. But because we're always living in that, it's important for us to talk about it. Because, and this is the most exciting part of the whole message, research also shows us that even the slightest effort to reverse all of that brings good things to the body. So listen to this. When we consciously introduce even a positive thought, this is where affirmations could really be a saving grace for you. If you have a few favorite affirmations that make you feel good when you focus on them, even a quick positive thought that you put into your consciousness will begin to switch the physiology of your body immediately. And even more so, if you have an experience of feeling love, if you have an experience of feeling the experience of beauty, you can feel that. And have you ever seen a sunset and you can just feel it kind of ripple through you, right? Or a beautiful child. Sometimes in the market, it's hard to keep your hands off a beautiful child and you just see something about life in them. So all of those things that we feel in that real specific way has an immediate impact, flipping our immune system back to working in a healthy way. It's just the way it works. One simple thought, and we have reversed a negative physiology. This is important for us to examine, because in that immediacy, all of that stress response that your body does halts. It stops right then. And now, what thought will you feed it, your body, yourself, your mind? What thought will you put in there next? In the gorgeous book, Mind Over Medicine, we keep it in the bookstore all the time. The woman that wrote it is a doctor, Lissa Rankin. The practitioners have to study that book in their training. She's talking about, this is where I got this information, and she says, once the immune system flips back on, the body can go about its natural self-repair process, preventing illness or treating disease that already exists. And as a result, disease is more likely to be prevented in well people and successfully treated in sick people. One quick thought that changes the direction of the next thought. It's changing our mind. It's what we talk about here. Change your thinking and you change your life. It's the very physical demonstration of that truth. So let us not be alarmed by being startled awake for any reason. I think Halloween is the perfect time because it's so playful, because we can come here and sit together and have such a really good time looking at this topic of fear and the way some people are almost addicted to it and other people are addicted to avoiding it, to avoiding conflict or things that go bump in the night. But overall, I would say what a beautiful gift that this spooky little holiday brings to us. It's a platform for us to talk about it in very practical ways and to help to wake us up. So here's what I'm going to do this week, and I'm going to invite you to join me. This is sort of the homework assignment. I am going to be more conscious because Halloween's not till Tuesday. So I'm going to play in this stuff, and I'm going to be thinking about this message. And I'm going to be looking for the things that I worry about or the things that seem to be scaring me that I haven't noticed, let's say, last week. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a covenant with God. And I'm going to agree that after the first two things I notice, that the rest is on God. That I'm not going to burden myself with any more fear, and that I'm making a conscious decision to take whatever that is that comes up for me that I might be afraid of or worried about or sad about, whatever it is, personal or worldwide, whatever it is, and I'm going to give it to God. Because there is a power and a presence that is greater than we are. It's a presence or good. It's on our side, and we can use it. And that is the whole premise of this teaching, this education is based upon that idea. Those are the words of Ernest Holmes, and he said them all the time. Ernest Holmes said in that wonderful little book, This Thing Called You, no harm can come to you when you know that God is at the center of everything. This knowledge protects you. Evil is as night before the onrushing light of your consciousness. Darkness dissipates by the sun of your faith. Oh, it's a powerful quote. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? No harm can come to you when you know that God is at the center of everything. And why is that? Because when you have that knowledge, when we wake up to that truth, it is that acknowledgement that protects us. And that's why we don't end up in the wrong place at the wrong time if we started in that consciousness of recognizing all of that power. And so I have a story that I wanted to end the message with this morning about a profound time in my life, a profound experience of fear and being startled awake, in which this quotation fits so beautifully. So the story goes like this. Hugh and I had we were living on the Central Coast, and we had this very rustic cabin that we were living in that was very unique and unusual and fun. And sometimes, especially in the wintertime, a storm could move in very suddenly. A squall just comes in off the sea and right into the neighborhood. Now, our house was nestled in the middle of all these very mature pine trees. And it was not unusual if it rained all day, which it had on this particular day, and then the squall comes and the winds are howling through the village there. It's not unusual that by the next day, six or seven trees on that hill might have fallen over by morning. It is also not all that unusual to have your car crunched or maybe even find a tree in your part of your house one day. So I was always aware of that. I was always thinking about that, especially during these storms. So this one night, Hugh and I are sitting, we're watching TV, we got a little fire going in the fireplace. I was a little unnerved because the storm had been going all day long and it had been wet. Perfect environment for a tree to tip over. And I'm really probably got the adrenaline, you know, probably all that, the hypothalamus and all that stuff was like, I had the fight or flight going on. You can count on it. And suddenly we hear this loud creaking noise as a huge pine tree right across the street from us went down sideways, but it's nighttime, you can't see which way it's fallen. It hits the ground, it feels like the house comes right up off the foundation because it's a huge hit, and we were fine. It crushed a guy's car, but it didn't hit it. It went between two houses, and instantly, no power anywhere on our hill because it took down the wires with it, right? So we have no power, and it was not unusual that you could be without power for a couple days. So I just can't hardly catch my breath, and we go to the door, and we're trying to look out, and we can't see. It's just too dark to tell where the tree went down and what happened, and is everything okay? And so it's dark, and I've got candles lit in the house, and so Hugh goes, well, I'm going to go up and go to bed now. And I said, no, you can't go to bed now. You know, I'm all stirred up. You can't go to bed and leave me alone in this storm. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to bed. Come on up. Come to bed with me. And I went, I am not going up there. Tree falls on the house. It's going to take out you before it takes out me down at you. But you need to stay down here. And he goes, no, I'm going up. I'm going to bed. So now I'm not only scared, but I'm a little angry. Right? And he goes up, and I got my candle, and I'm downstairs, and the wind's going, woo, and I'm waiting for the next tree to fall, and I'm pacing, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking at those stairs, and I really want to be close to him, but I do not want to be upstairs. It did not feel safe to be upstairs. So there's this bathroom that's like in the most of the middle of the house that there could be, and it's this little bathroom, and I did say it was a rustic cabin, and it had a stone, not a fancy stone floor, like pebbles from the beach floor, and I should have been more afraid of the spiders in the corners of that bathroom, but I pulled the cushions off the sofa, and I made me a little nest in this little bitty bathroom, and I took a blanket and a pillow, and I went in there, and I shivered, and I shuddered, and I was creeped out, and the wind keeps blowing, and I can't go to sleep because I'm just like waiting for the next tree to fall over and squish our house or my husband, And then suddenly, I was studying to become a practitioner at the time. So suddenly, it was like I had a vision of what it would look like to see me in this tiny little bathroom with, on the sofa cushion, you know, scared as all get out. And I said to myself, probably out loud, you have some tools that you could tap into right now to carry you through this scary experience. And when I said that, it kind of made me laugh. It gave me a little space to breathe. And I laughed. And instead of trying to think of what a tool would be, because I probably couldn't come up with much at that point, God gave me this sweet little gift. And I heard this quotation from A Course in Miracles, which I was very devoted to before The Science of Mind. And I still love it very much. So I heard this little voice in my head from the Course. I did not memorize this passage. I do not know how or why. I know why. I don't know how it got there, except that I created an opening for it to arrive. And the voice said this: when you are afraid, it is a sure sign you are trusting in your own strength. And that just gave me the space to breathe, to really breathe. And it made me realize that what I was doing while I was pacing back and forth and all that fear I had was you feel sometimes as if it is up to you to go out in the storm and hold up all the doggone trees so they don't fall down, right? I want my husband to be safe. I want my house to be safe. I want us to weather the storm and get to the other side of it. So that just gave me, then that made me laugh more, and then I could feel, I can see some of you like wanting to lift the weight off your shoulders even as I'm speaking. That gave me this new space to be in. Now, I would like to tell you that I then just got out of the bathroom and went upstairs and went to bed, but no, I didn't. I knew I was safer in the bathroom, and I did eventually doze off and get a little sleep, but my husband came down to check on me at some point. He went, "Are you really going to stay down here all night?" And I said, "Yeah, I you think there's any chance I could talk you into joining me in here?" And he declined respectfully, and then he went over and slept on the couch that, of course, had no cushions because I had had them all in the bathroom, but he spent the rest of the night on the sofa with me, and then the funny thing happens that the sun comes up, the storm is gone, and it's not scary anymore, right? So that's what Holmes means when he says this. It's like you have this knowledge that God is at the center of everything. There's no place that God is not. Why wouldn't God be right there in that little bathroom with me, right? Why wouldn't God be right there? There's no way God couldn't be right there. And that when you embody that knowledge, that is what protects you. And then I love this line. He says, "The darkness dissipates by the sun of your faith." In that moment of remembering that greater truth, it's like the return of the light happens inside our own minds. And that's why the instant we have a positive thought or a feeling of joy or beauty inside of us, instantly our bodies respond to that, because that's how we're made. This is a great story because I think it, for me, was an experience of extreme fear. You can laugh, but some of us are afraid of bad storms. And it is that storm then that brought me to a new realization, or let's say a deeper understanding of how life works. It also makes you, startles you awake to be aware of the presence of God with you at all times. So there is a power for good. It is ever active in our lives, and it definitely, most supremely, is a force that is for us. Use this information the next time you are scared for any reason. Use it in a positive way, even if you don't deny when you're scared. Notice it, and then let that be the step into recognizing, yes, and here too is God. And finally, I would just leave you this morning with this little thing. I don't remember who said this originally, but sometimes we got to dance with fear. You know, whenever I hear that song, I hope you'll dance. I think of this, that sometimes it looks like the boogeyman is out to get you. But the truth is, maybe it's just an invitation to do the boogie with the boogeyman. And so at this time, I want to call forward all of the practitioners that are present today. And let's just sort of hover around the room a little bit. We'll extend ourselves out, and all the ministers and practitioners that are here. And as I'm saying the healing prayer this day, I want you to be keenly aware of that power and that presence, that force for good. So just get comfortable where you're seated. And we let all of the sweet things that have unfolded so far this morning, we let them just settle. And we feel joy in our hearts for that which is right ahead of us. And I just feel the love of God. I feel it stirring inside of me, remembering that it is an inside job. That there is no place where God is not. So God has to be right here, right now, in this very room, behind every mask and under every wig. The eyes of Spirit itself gazing out. I feel the love of God within me, and I know it is that magnificent force of the universe. It is the infinite intelligence, that which structures all of life. It is that wisdom in our bodies that does indeed know how to maintain and repair and rejuvenate, that all the cells of our body are stimulated at the very sound of these words. I know that every time we have a thought that stirs us to remember that presence of God, that it is a great gift to the physical world, that there is healing and renewal and new possibilities again and again and again, because it is the way that life works. I feel the love of God, and I know that it is this beautiful healing experience that truth is revealed again and again, and that this day, as we sit and we laugh together, that we become vessels to just receive our good. So I know that even now, divine ideas are pouring into our lives, into our minds, into our consciousness. I know that creativity that we have expressed so colorfully this day is evidence of the way that we are created in the image and likeness of God. That we are creative beings, and that we therefore allow ourselves to co-create our lives into these divine possibilities that are unfolding even now. And so wherever there is any appearance of illness or limitation or lack in any way, I simply know that right there is God. There is that love that is healing and stimulating and rejuvenating. And that everything we need, we are already given. That as we recognize this power for good in the universe, it lifts the weight off our shoulders, and we stand in truth, knowing that we are protected, we are guided, we are given everything we need at the perfect time, in the perfect place, and for the divine purpose. And so as I feel the joy of this day, as I sense it rippling through this room, I know that we have been healed this day, and I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, infinite spirit, for all of these gifts and for those that are yet to come, for we stand as vessels to receive our good. And even now, it is rushing, pouring, streaming, being made evident to us so that we can walk through our day, through our week, in full confidence and awareness. And in that spirit of deep, deep gratitude, I simply release the words of this prayer into that divine law, knowing indeed it is already done. And together we say, and so it is. Amen.